The themes of our faith are old, like the rock of ages, like the words and the music, the traditions that have undergirded us and brought us safe thus far. Paul talked about those traditions and how he had to find ways to connect with new people, even as he held fast what he knew to be true in his heart. And a similar theme comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is a book moves through 39 chapters preparing for a time of invasion and disruption, and beginning with chapter 40, changes and now talks with a new voice about moving out of exile to freedom. So listen to these words from Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. Therefore its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. God stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. God brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when God blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? God, who brings out their host and numbers them, calls them all by name, because God is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. So why do you say, O Jacob, why do you speak, Israel, and say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my needs are disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And God does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. And even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Living God, draw near to us once more. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be a sacrifice acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want you to learn a new word this morning. And the word is Wysiati. Say it out loud. Wysiati. Now it's spelled W-Y-S-I-A-T-I. It's not a real word. It's an acronym. And it stands for the phrase, what you see is all there is. Wysiati. Every day we each make thousands of decisions. And most of those decisions are based on very limited information. We are prone as a species to jump to conclusions. Because wysiati, what we see is all there is. I'll give an example. Consider two people who recently went out and bought cars. Adam, he switched from a gas guzzler that's only getting 12 miles per gallon to a slightly better gas guzzler that gets 14 miles per gallon. The environmentally virtuous Betsy switched from a car getting 30 miles per gallon to a car getting 40 miles per gallon. And both of them drive about equal distances during the course of a year. So who made the better choice? Who will save more gas? Well, Betsy seems the logical choice. Her mileage improved by one-third, from 30 to 40, while Adam's only increased by one-sixth, from 12 to 14. But do the math. If they each drove 10,000 miles in a year, Adam will reduce his gas consumption from 833 gallons down to 714 gallons, a saving of 119 gallons. Betsy, where her fuel usage will really only drop from 333 to 250 gallons. She only saves 83. The real issue here was not miles per gallon, that sticker on the car window. The real issue was gallons per mile. But the wrong quick assumption that we make about which choice is the better one happens all the time. And it doesn't just happen to car buyers, it happens to government policymakers consistently. We receive a little bit of information, it's presented to us in a certain perspective or slant, and so we end up making a quick decision, which may or may not be right. The scientist Daniel Kahneman wrote a book about this, and he calls this thinking fast. Another example, you're probably going to more likely feel encouraged if the doctor comes into your waiting room and says to you that 90% of the people who had this procedure were still alive 1 month later, than if he walks in your room and says to you, 10% of the people who had this procedure were dead within a month. Now, it's the same statistical truth. It's the same fact, but we prefer one version over the other. Just like if you go in the grocery store, you'll probably grab the package of salami that boasts 90% fat-free and not touch the one that says 10% fat. Thinking fast happens all the time. But sometimes we need to think slow. We need more information. We need to take the time to do the math. We need to remember that what you see is not all there is. And sometimes to get that to happen in our lives, someone has to get into our face and shake us by the shoulders and literally say to us, no, have you not known? Have you not heard? For most of the 6th century BCE, the people of Israel were forced to live in exile in the land of Babylon. They'd lost their homes. There was no Jewish king on the throne anymore. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. They were strangers in a strange land. All around them were reminders that someone else was in control. Whether it was the hanging gardens in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, or the mosaics that lined the temple walls and extolled the virtues of the Babylonian gods Marduk and Tiamat. For 70 years, that was all the Israelites saw. Why Siati? Psalm 137 tells their story. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept whenever we remembered Zion. The Israelites in that time came to believe that the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had forsaken and forgotten them. But after 70 years in exile, a change occurred, and they were allowed to go home. They were allowed to finally rebuild their lives back in Judah. But as they walked out of those gates of Babylon, in their ears were the words of Isaiah 40, the prophet saying to them, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, for she has served her term. Her penalty is paid. Make straight now in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain made low. The glory of the Lord will now be revealed. But truth be told, as these Israelites marched out, and even as the prophet said that to them, they felt it hard to accept those promises, to trust them. After generations of suffering and exile, after feeling abandoned by God for so long, they had trouble hearing the prophet's good news. Why Siati? When all you see is all there is, and when all you see is harsh, believing in something else comes neither easily nor automatically. Here's the point. Much of what we believe about the world around us is shaped by our intuitions and fast thinking related to our experiences. Exiles in a foreign land will feel exiled from God and life in general. Prisoners in solitary confinement here, or locked away at Guantanamo Bay without hope of due process there, will feel like perpetual captives, no longer human beings. People who experience racism and homophobic bias, economic prejudice, will feel like strangers in a strange land, unsure whom they can trust, unsure what to believe in. For example, the combination of Wysiati and white privilege means that for Caucasians, when a police officer pulls you over, you simply stay in the car and you do what is asked of you. Yet for African Americans, for Latinos, for people of color, it is much less clear what you're supposed to do in that situation. To be silent at that moment risks being characterized as sullen and potentially dangerous, hiding something. To be deferential and accommodating risks being perceived as mocking, manipulating. And to step out of that car for any reason puts far more at risk than most white people can ever imagine. Fast thinking makes it easy to assume it's a straightforward question that needs to be answered or resolved. Similar case. We can look at the statistics on crime in the inner city and quickly blame the victims, since they don't break the code of silence, since they won't tell the police and the officials who has committed the recent crimes. But slow thinking reminds us that sometimes a victim's mother may actually tell her neighbors that she does not expect them to let their children cooperate with the police, trying to solve her own child's murder, because she does not want to run the risk of another mother's child being killed on the streets. Wysiati thinking happens all the time. It happens when things are good. It happens when things are bad. When we're healthy, when we're organized, when our bills are paid on time, then we imagine what we see is what will always be. And when we're hurting, when we're broken, when we're given bad health or financial news, we imagine what I see is all there is. Faith in God in both situations can be challenging. If all's well, thanks be to God, move on to the next pleasure. If all's bad, you feel alone, abandoned. Where is hope as I struggle to survive? At that point, Isaiah's voice, or more particularly, at that point, Isaiah's questions are what we need to hear. That persistent voice saying to us, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood something that's there from the foundations of the earth? Isaiah challenges Wysiati and says, no, what you see is not all there is. To use his poetic language, from the perspective of God who sits above the circle, the dome of the earth, all humankind is like grasshoppers. Princes are all as naught. Powers and authority and history are ultimately as nothing. Isaiah then calls us to step away from our simple conclusions based on limited knowledge and tells us, do the math. Listen for other voices. Think slowly, deeply, and look beyond today's suffering to remember. Remember what you've always known, the presence of a God whose love you felt. Remember again the promises of healing that you've trusted even before you could put words to them. Diane Comp is a pediatrician, and she works with children and cancer. And she said that for children, it is more important to be known than to know. The basis of all children's confidence depends less on how much they know about their family and much more upon the inner assurance that they are known by their family, that they are remembered, that they belong. If that's true for children, it is certainly true for all of us. And that's why we take comfort from Scripture like Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Even before a word is on my lips, you know it completely. That's why we turn once and again to 1 Corinthians 13. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The philosopher Blaise Pascal famously said, "Man is but a reed, the most feeble thing in nature, but he is a thinking reed. Our dignity consists in thought. By it we must elevate ourselves, not through space and time, which we can never hope to fill, but let us endeavor to think well." To think well means to let Isaiah shake us by the shoulders on a regular basis and say to us, "No, have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not remembered what's been said to you from the very beginning?" It means that in our lives we will regularly have to pull back the curtains and look at more of the world than we were accustomed to see. It means regularly we have to have longer conversations with strangers, the people outside our normal circle, and hear the rest of the story that they would share, and to find out where our conclusions were so quickly jumped to, but the truth was something different. And yes, that means we will constantly risk having that meddlesome information and fact disrupt our preconceived answers, whether that involves climate change or vaccinations, whether it involves immigration policy, or if a family can support themselves receiving only minimum wage for full-time work. And by the way, the answer to that last one is no. It basically means we, as people of faith, stop and slow think for a while. That we breathe and are aware that we can breathe. Feel our pulse and give thanks for the fact that we have a pulse. As thinking reeds, it means we endeavor to think well. As children of the exile, it means remember that all earthly power ultimately is of naught, and we're to work now so that all may live in freedom. As children of God, it's knowing that we are fully known. And as people of faith, it means moving from following Jesus of Nazareth here to trusting and believing in Jesus the Christ, the light of the world. And it's the stuff that we've known all along, before we had words for it. Isaiah just wants us to remember that fact. Why? Because it's the good news. The literal good news that gives power to the faint, renewal to the weak. It's the good news that reminds us that all that we see is not all that there is, that there is much more, deeper and truer and trustworthy and hopeful, and we will mount up on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not grow faint. And that is true now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, please pray with me. Most gracious and loving God, we come this morning giving you thanks and praise for this day which you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we come as a people who realize that there are so many things that we are unable to see with the natural eye, but which we know from the Spirit that lives within us. We come as a people who are troubled, Lord God, by the things that we do see and witness and hear. And so we lift to you this day all those who have suffered from violence, terrorism, abuse. You are a God of peace, and we look so forward to the day when your peace shall reign eternal. Lord God, we pray for those who have been victimized as well as those who have perpetuated victimization upon others. Lord, let each of them know your peace, know your grace, know your mercy. Lord, we lift to you all those who grieve today the loss of loved ones, family, or friends, most especially Mary Figler in the death of her mother, Tucker and Libby Furta in the death of their grandparents. Lord God, may they know your comfort. May they know your peace. May they know that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Lord, we pray for all of those who are suffering as a result of living in poverty, injustice, prejudice, discrimination. You are truly a God of justice and equality. You said that each and every one of us are created in your image and that we are good. And so we pray, Lord God, for all of those who have been told otherwise. We give you thanks that what we see is not all that there is. We give you thanks that in spite of the fact that we have not seen your Son and our Savior, that we yet believe. We give you thanks for your Spirit that runs from breast to breast, heart to heart. And we give you thanks, Lord God. We give you thanks that you are God and that you love each and every one of us. And that love was shown to us by your Son who came and lived among us and taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.